booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I'm Juliet Huddy back here. Frank Morano has absconded. I don't know what happened. Was it something I said, Christian?
I don't think so.
No?
No,
have
I think,
plans?
He's just enjoying that Cape May vacation he had planned.
So I actually thought that he was supposed to be on vacation a few days while I was on vacation and we were going to be rejoined today. But I was completely wrong. He's not coming back until next week.
That's correct.
So I'm doing this solo all week.
Yes.
Like he was doing it last week.
Exactly.
That's cool. That's cool. You're going to be a big part of this show, Christian.
Wonderful.
As you heard, Christian is here. Gabby's at the controls. Sid's up with sports at 15 and 45. Deb is giving us the headlines. Also in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 5:40, of course. I'm going to tell you about some of the highlights and lowlights of traveling during a waning pandemic, at least over into the Italian portion of the world. And we actually traveled through Paris so on our way back yesterday, so I'll tell you a little bit about that. But all in all, I have to say the headline is that traveling post-pandemic, I guess you could say, at least right now, wasn't as torturous as I thought it was going to be. The worst part was JFK, to be honest with you. But anyway, we'll get into that in just a little bit. But let's get to some headlines right now. Wanted to talk just a little bit, and Deb covered it just a moment ago. New York State Republican Party leaders anointed Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin as their presumptive nominee for governor. This is following a straw poll that they took on Monday. So essentially, he would be the guy that they say would take on the presumed opponent, incumbent Andrew Cuomo, next year. Now, Zeldin was on Rita Cosby's show last night, and he sounds ready for a fight.
He's saying he's not going to resign. He's raising money for a reelection campaign. He wants to run for a fourth term. I personally believe in term limits. I don't even think the governor should have been able to run for a third term, let alone running now for a fourth term. If elected, I would call on the state legislature to term limit me.
Yeah, you know, we're going to hear a bit more from him through the show. But essentially, he's thrilled. He couldn't be happier, obviously. 85% of county leaders said that they back Zeldin. 5% preferred Westchester County executive and 2014 gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorino. As far as Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew, he did not garner any support. However, 10% of the leaders abstained. So we're going to get on to that story a few more times this hour. Meantime, neighbors in the Washington Square Park area continuing to lash out at local leaders, understandably, and police as well, for what they say is just the fact that they're not doing enough to curb the chaos taking place nightly there. The anger outcry follows this past Sunday's violence. You probably heard this. An elderly hot dog vendor was attacked and beaten by some partiers down there. And that was just one low light from yet another night of raucous debauchery that has been plaguing the Tony area for months now. Witnesses say the scene Monday morning after a weekend of nonstop craziness, essentially, was just not pretty. Empty liquor bottles strewn everywhere, trash cans overflowing. It's really just a mess down there. Cannot imagine what it must be like to live there. And moving on, we're finding out a bit more about that shocking shooting in Times Square. Which one, you ask? Well, it's the one that happened on Sunday outside the Marriott Hotel on West 45th Street. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that coming up momentarily, but let's head to traffic on the sevens with my pal Joe Nolan. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Juliet, I can't wait to hear about your trip. It sounds like it was fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. Oh, it's difficult to be back, I tell you, but I was very excited to see my little Winnie, my little Yorkie.
Well, we got trouble on the Connecticut Turnpike northbound between interchanges 12 and 13. A tractor trailer went off the roadway down the embankment. Now, this happened around midnight, but still, they are still working on getting this thing out of the way, and they're saying it could go through the rush hour. Jersey Turnpike northbound the ramp to the Gothels Bridge Fire Department activity in the right lane. Now, westbound on 78 at exit 3, there's a tractor trailer fire that continues outbound on the LI at Woodhaven Boulevard. Some construction, two lanes out. And again, alternate side today is in effect. The supportive service of Indeed.com. Shift hiring gears with Indeed. They go beyond the resume with 135 skills tests that helps candidates show their abilities at things like computer proficiency or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. about it. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. We also have a heat advisory, and that is going to be a big concern for people who do not have air conditioning. Clearly, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 93 degrees we're going to see for a high today. We'll have some sunshine starting the day out, and then a few afternoon clouds will kind of roll in. We may see a stray shower or a thunderstorm, but even if we do, it's really not going to do much as far as lowering the temperatures. We are only going to get down to about the mid-70s this evening. Tomorrow, again, hot, 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 92 degrees for a high. And by Wednesday evening, we should see some of those scattered thunderstorms during the evening. It will be partly cloudy overnight, and that should give us a little bit of relief by Thursday. Some scattered thunderstorms mixed with some sunshine on Thursday for a high. Also, Friday, cooling down a bit, 72 degrees with occasional rain showers. And currently, the temperature right now in New York City is 79 degrees. Back to the headlines now. Oh, boy, we're finding out a bit more about that shocking shooting in Times Square that happened Sunday outside the Marriott Hotel on West 45th. Cops say this 21-year-old Marine was walking with his wife and his brother-in-law, he's actually a newlywed, when shots rang out. The family was reportedly in town from upstate New York for a baptism. Samuel Poulin is the victim's name. He was hit in the back by a ricocheting bullet. One of Poulin's relatives told the New York Post that he's doing fine. He is a recent graduate of the Citadel, which is that military college down in South Carolina. And cops are on the lookout now for the suspects who maybe CD peddlers in the area. They're really amping up the violence, those guys. So obviously, if you're down in that area, keep an eye out. But it's interesting because apparently the victim's wife, his new wife, is the daughter of a colonel, an army colonel, a fairly well-known one. So I have a feeling the cops are going to be extra, extra vigilant in trying to find these guys and figure out who did this. Meantime, Mayor de Blasio on Monday promised to flood the zone, as he said there in Times Square, meaning send more cops in to protect folks. Or more specifically, he noted, we have more tourists coming into town. So I guess he feels that they deserve more protection than his actual constituents. He says the shooting of a Marine is unacceptable, and he says New York will not tolerate it. He, however, did not mention the hundreds of other shootings and attacks on innocent New Yorkers that have been plaguing the city since he decided to shut down the NYPD arm that kept guns off the street and also helped push, of course, for defunding the police department. We'll get into that a little bit later. Also, some good news for us, those of us at least with the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. Experts now think that they have created such strong immunity, these particular vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, such strong immunity that we could be protected from COVID for years, meaning that we wouldn't need a booster shot every year, or we wouldn't need a booster shot for quite a long time. Maybe experts say even a lifetime. The key apparently is keeping the virus from mutating or evolving too much. And it's not really anything that we can do about it. It could be a challenge given what we've seen already with this Delta variant and other variants, but the Delta variant in particular. The study didn't focus on the other popular U.S. vaccine, the single shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but doctors say, unfortunately, it's probably not as strong as the other two. But, of course, they need to do a little bit more research on that one. We will focus on that a little bit later when we get more information. And a Suffolk County leader is demanding answers to the mystery that has haunted a small beach community for years. Several women were murdered in Gilgo Beach. And New York State Senator Phil Boyle, he is saying, look, we need some resolution. This is the case that has garnered national attention, world attention, actually. They call it the Long Island serial killer investigation. And it is really a very complicated and very salacious investigation because it involves all sorts of people, including city leaders, including the former police chief. Now, Boyle held a police conference Monday in Oak Beach. And here's what he has to say about the case deserving to be reviewed. Track one.
Far too many conflicts and questions that are still in place 10 years later.
And he will continue on to tell us a little bit about that momentarily. And meantime, former President Donald Trump lashing out Monday at New York City and state prosecutors over this fairly long-running investigation, I guess you could say, of what's going on with the Trump Organization. They gave a warning yesterday. Or actually, they gave a warning on Sunday to the Trump Organization lawyers. And essentially, New York State, New York Attorney General Letitia James and the Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance said, look, you're going to have 24 hours to get your comments ready because we are going to have you come into our offices and we're going to talk to you about whether or not we're going to be indicting members of the Trump Organization. Apparently, that is not going to be happening. It could be happening, but it's not going to happen for Donald Trump himself, at least not in this round of indictments. So we shall see what happens with that. But the president, former president, lashed out. He accused the New York City and state prosecutors, accusing them of being rude, nasty, totally biased. Those are his quotes. Meantime, a company attorney told reporters that this grand jury impaneled by Vance is nearing a vote on issuing those indictments. Again, it's following a 2-year-long investigation. And once again, Trump's lawyers say Trump himself isn't facing any charges, at least not in this round of indictments. Moving on now, 3 U.S.-based journalists working for Al Jazeera are a few thousand bucks richer, or at least they will be. The county of St. Charles out in Missouri has agreed to pay them $280,000. Now, the reason is that they were covering the protests in Ferguson, Missouri. Remember those protests back in 2015 after the Michael Brown death? They were tear gassed, these three journalists. They were tear gassed by local cops for apparently no reason. Now, there was a video that was introduced by attorneys for these journalists representing the reporters, showing that the official police line on what happened simply wasn't true. At the time, authorities claimed the journalists were mixed up with a bunch of rioters, and it wasn't the cops' fault because, of course, these journalists, they couldn't tell the difference. But this video that the journalists' lawyers presented proved otherwise, and it looks like the cops weren't telling the truth. All right, it is time now for our other jet setter. His name is, well, we call him by the single name, a single moniker, Sid, and he is up with sports. Hello, Sydney.
Good morning, Juliet. Welcome back.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Are you going on any vacations soon?
Nothing soon. I'm going to go to London in August. That's it. Yeah,
that's
otherwise,
right.
No, I'm home.
Well,
that's it.
I mean, maybe you're going to go to London in August. Who knows what's happening over there?
I know. It's a mess. But
with the Delta variant, I know.
I got to get my daughter back at some point.
That's true. Well, I don't know. Talk to her about that.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe she'll just stay. Who knows? But your pictures look great. Look like you had a wonderful time.
Oh, we did. Definitely.
Awesome. All right. Well, I tell you, did not have a wonderful time last night, Juliet. The two local baseball teams. We'll start with the Mets, who lost their second straight. The Nationals beat them again, this time 8-4. And once again, Kyle Schwarber. I've never seen this. This guy is so hot. 2 more home runs last night. He's now hit 24 on the season. He now joins Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. 15 home runs in 17 games. That's how hot Kyle Schwarber is for the Washington Nationals. Again, they double up the Mets 8-4. Here was Met player Jeff McNeil on the Mets status after the loss.
You know, it's nice for us to be in first, so you know everyone's chasing us. But, you know, those good ball clubs, we just need to, keep playing well, you know, keep winning ball games, and hopefully at the end of the year, we're at the top.
Right now, the Mets are 40-34. Those Nationals are in second place. They're back at 500, 38-38, 3 back of the Mets. The Yankees lost again, too, 5-3 to the Angels. Ohtani, this two-way player, he's magnificent. He had never gotten a hit at Yankee Stadium. He was 0-9. Then he homered in the first inning, his 26th of the year. He's tied with Vlad Guerrero Jr. of Toronto for the Major League lead. And it was a long night after that for Michael King and the Yankees. Again, Angels win it by a final score of 5-3. This despite home runs by Urshela and Stanton for the Yanks. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone after last night's loss.
Well, I'm disappointed we lost, certainly. You know, we understand where we are and the importance of these. You know, frustrating we couldn't mount much late. Suarez, you know, kept us off balance and just weren't able to mount enough.
Yankees are now just 2 games over 500, 7.5 behind the division-leading Boston Red Sox. Game 1, Stanley Cup Finals last night. U.S. gets the win. The Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-1. Western Conference Finals, NBA, 41 from Paul George, and the Clippers stay alive. They beat Phoenix 116-102. That series is still 3-2. Phoenix later on tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, where Milwaukee has a 2-1 edge on the Atlanta Hawks. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, Peerless Boilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do, Juliet, build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
You know, you are all dressed up today. Did you enjoy your photo session yesterday, your photo shoot?
No, I didn't say.
Oh my God, you didn't?
Listen, anything that happens after 11 o'clock or noon, we get here so early in the morning. I just can't. I got I have all this stuff going on, Juliet. So.
Well, I know, of course you do. And by the way, Frank and I obviously weren't there either because I was just getting back from vacation. He was going on vacation. So they're going to have another round of this.
Right, thing. And we'll just do the four of us just do it together. How about that?
That sounds perfect. Perhaps over lunch. Okay, thanks very much. So we'll check back with you in a little bit. Meantime, let's get to traffic on the 7th with Joseph Nolan.
All right, Juliet. And if you begin to travel northbound out on the Connecticut Turnpike between exit 12 and 13, tractor trailer went down the embankment off the roadway, obviously. Two lanes are out, though, on the main line of the road. And as a result of that, you're starting to see some pretty big delays heading northbound at exit 11. Now, we're also looking at slow traffic as you travel on the Jersey Turnpike northbound. This is a weird one. The ramp to the Gothels Bridge, one lane going to be out just past the tolls. Fire department activity. There was an earlier stalled truck up there, and they're cleaning up after that one. Now, on 78 New Jersey, westbound out by exit 3, a tractor-trailer fire. And then outbound on the LIA, Woodhaven Boulevard construction, two lanes are out. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Well, we have some more headlines to get to. Obviously, updates on what's happening down in Miami with the building collapse. Man, I used to drive by that building every single day. I had a friend who lived right across the street. Whew, it is just... It just gives me chills every time I hear stories. And we're hearing a lot of stories about some local people who have moved down there, who were in that building and are still missing. So we'll talk about that. Also, coming up in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update at 540. I'm going to tell you what it was like, at least cover kind of the highlights and lowlights of what it was like trying to get through JFK and some of the European airports, as we deal with sort of this pandemic wrapping up, or at least in some cases wrapping up. All of that coming up momentarily.
This is the WABC Early News.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Juliet Huddy. WABC Early News time is 5:20. Frank is on vacay, and he'll be back next week. But in the meantime, I will be bringing you the news along with Deb. And Sid has your headlines, or Sid has your sports headlines. Deb has your actual headlines. Let's talk about what's happening down in Florida. I was just blown away by watching some of the developments there. Such a heartbreaking scene over the weekend down near the condo collapse site in Miami. Family members of the dead and missing victims were taken from the Grand Beach Hotel. That's where they've been put up as they await word of the search for their loved ones. It's near the Surfside area, near that sort of collapse site, I guess you could say. But they were taken to the disaster site. Witnesses said several members of the family of a resident named Nicole Langsfeld were heard screaming her name in hopes of a miracle. She and her husband, Luis, haven't been seen or heard from, of course, since Thursday's collapse. Miami-Dade Commissioner Jose Diaz, he talks about the rescue response from around the country and around the world.
These people that are coming to help our people out here have the hope to find people alive. And that's something we cannot stop.
Meantime, the husband of another woman who is still missing is speaking out about a frantic call his wife made to him just before the collapse. His name is Mike Stratton, and he told the Miami Herald he was on a work trip up in D.C. when he was awakened by the phone ringing. It was 1:30 a.m. His wife, Cassie, was on the line, and she only had time to tell him her whole building was shaking. She saw a sinkhole where the pool used to be before, he says, the line went dead, and he said she was screaming. The Washington Post reporting Stratton was on her fourth floor balcony at the time. The 40-year-old is a model. She is an actress and a Pilates instructor. Her husband says that they had been living at Champlain Towers for the last 4 years. He'd last seen Cassie on June 21st before he left on his business trip. Let's hear a little bit more from Miami-Dade County Fire Rescue Chief Alan Kaminsky talking about the challenges for these rescuers and having to deal with sifting through all of this rubble.
When we find a void, and now we kind of want to go further, deeper, to see if there's a deeper void or something different that we find. There's definitely a concern with the rain and now the debris and possibly sliding. So, I mean, it's an extremely dangerous situation.
Also, a Manhattan attorney who moved to Miami to escape the crime in her Upper West Side neighborhood is also among the missing. Friends say Linda March was renting a penthouse in the tower. The Brooklyn native wanted a new life and was reportedly enjoying her ocean views, but wasn't thrilled with the daily construction noise, according to her friend. Let's listen to Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Chief Alan Kaminsky again, talking about the spirits remaining high for the rescuers.
You know, we're finding certain areas, certain components within that we keep going, keep pushing forward. So spirits, I would say, are definitely still high, you know, very optimistic.
But of course, they start to dwindle by the day and by the hours. And we also have more alarming revelations emerging from the disaster. The city now calling for inspections of all buildings in the area taller than six stories and over 40 years old within 45 days. Meantime, rumors are flying that developers of the doomed tower were previously accused of paying off local inspectors and officials so that they could get around some of the permits. That news follows word from a state engineer who said he warned the building was in need of repair in a, quote, timely fashion way back in 2018. And, you know, it seems, Christian, like every hour or two, you have some other inspector or some other person or a resident or somebody that lived there that's coming out and showing pictures of what this place looked like in the months, the years, and even the days before this collapse. It's just been horrible. You guys have obviously been covering it since I've been away.
Yeah, it's been horrific to watch. Obviously, we saw it kind of break during the overnight on Thursday and into Friday, and it's been just a constant flurry of updates. And you know, you kind of appreciate the optimism from the rescuers and all the heroes down there. But I mean, after a while, it just gets grimmer and grimmer as they continue to find and recover bodies in the rubble.
You know, and it's amazing that they haven't recovered too many. I mean, it's been what at this point 11, I think we're talking about, but. It's just such a horrible situation. I'm so sad for all of the families. But that's right. It would have been breaking during Frank's show.
That's right. Yeah. So it was since I'm doing the news updates during the overnight, something we were kind of monitoring throughout the morning and throughout the day. Once you got to WABC, the regular people started to come in there. Obviously, once the weekend was over, the news just continued to get grimmer.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you think about it, too, when you think about all the buildings that we have in Manhattan and how old they are. And when you think about the construction and sort of the dilapidated nature of some of these buildings, it certainly raises a lot of concerns in Miami, and it certainly raises a lot of concerns up here in New York City.
Well, especially because, you know, especially for the people who are living in the other, you know, the sister tower and some of those other places right around that area. You know, you just read some of the engineering reports, and it's obviously, I'm not an engineer, but it seems pretty obvious that something needed to be done years ago. But we're going to cover this story, continue to cover it as we get more information coming out. And, a little bit of good news before we get to traffic. Former FDA head Scott Gottlieb, actually, this isn't good news. He's issuing another warning to Americans who have not been vaccinated. I guess it's good news to people who have been, but if you have not been vaccinated, Gottlieb says, look, cases of this highly deadly Delta variant are beginning to explode in places like Mississippi, Arkansas, and other states where the vaccination rates are low. In fact, by the way, Arkansas has seen an average of 300 new cases per day in the last week. That's up from 200 last month. Bottom line is this particular strain is more contagious. It is more deadly than previous strains. And if we don't want to end up in another lockdown like the UK, we better get those vaccination rates up quickly because this Delta variant does not mess around. All right, it is time now for Joseph B. Nolan with traffic on the sevens. Joseph, hello.
All right, Juliet. And as we begin to head on out, we do have a problem up in Connecticut, northbound Connecticut Turnpike, getting up to exit 12. Again, that accident, the right lane is going to be out, tractor trailer down an embankment. This happened around 12:30 this morning, and it's likely going to continue here for a little while at least. The right lane, again, going to be out of service as you come on up to this thing. Now, we're also going to be looking at delays on the Jersey Turnpike northbound the ramp to the Goethals Bridge. That right lane remains out with fire department activity in the right lane. 78 westbound at exit 3, a tractor trailer accident, a fire, and also alternate side is in effect today. So a bunch of things going on. A busy morning as we start out, and this report is a service of Dell. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Dell Technology Advisors have tech solutions to help your business get out in front and stay ahead of the game. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. And we're going to get to some of the other headlines making news today. Plus, in your Jet Set Julia travel update, what was it like going through JFK Airport trying to get overseas and international travel? I'll tell you, it wasn't pretty. Although I did meet a very nice lady named Romy who was trying to help people out as best she could. But that news coming up a little bit later. In the meantime, let's get to Deb with the headlines.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, the latest update this morning from the scene of the condo collapse near Miami, Florida, is that the death toll has now climbed to 11. 150 people still unaccounted for as hopeful search and rescue continues. Facebook's stock market value soared past $1 trillion Monday after a D.C. federal court dismissed antitrust suits by the Federal Trade Commission. An NYPD officer on patrol struck by a bullet from a BB gun in the St. George section of Staten Island. He was treated at a hospital for just minor injuries. So far, no arrests. More police will patrol Times Square. Now, this follows two separate shootings of innocent bystanders. Here's Police Chief Rodney Harrison.
It's important that we put a lot more of a police presence over there, trying to engage some of the issues we're seeing.
And so far, no arrests in connection with Sunday's shooting. The Board of Elections here in New York City plans to announce new tallies this afternoon in the race for New York City mayor. Counting continues of primary ballots. Democratic hopeful Eric Adams has a 75,000-vote lead over Maya Wiley. Three COVID-19 fatalities in New York State announced Monday from COVID. It marks the lowest death toll from the pandemic since September 28th of last year. The governor's office says one of those deaths was in Manhattan, the other two in upstate New York. That's your 77-second news update. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. This afternoon, look for a high of 95. We have just a 30% chance of an afternoon shower or a thunderstorm. And right now, 80 degrees, fair skies. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine. A traffic and transit report is next, where the news never stops, at WABCRadio.com.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. WABC News Time is 5:31. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank is on vacay. I hope he's having a good time. Although, of course, Christian and Gabby, Frank goes on vacation, but you see nonstop, oh, I'll be appearing on this radio show, and I'll be doing this performance, and it's like the guy doesn't take a break.
I'm sure Rachel loves that.
I'm sure, yes, I'm sure she's just thrilled. Honey, can we just get away for a nice little, preparation for the baby on the way? No, babe, I've got to go on radio shows all over the country. Oh, but he's a hard worker, that Frank Morano. By the way, on this day, June 29th, 1613, do you know what happened, Christian?
I do not, but I look forward to finding out momentarily.
Well, Shakespeare's Globe Theater in London burns down. It was during an actual performance. Can you guess what performance it was? I'll give you a hint. It was a Shakespeare play.
Well, Romeo and Juliet?
No. Henry VIII.
Ah, okay. Henry, that makes sense. VIII.
Yes. Also, on this day, June 29th, 1863, George Custer was appointed the Union Brigadier General. He was just 23 years old. So they were just, they were just feeling very confident in a 23-year-old leading the Union. It's pretty amazing. 1964, it was a Civil Rights Act passing after an 83-day filibuster in the U.S. Senate. And coming up, by the way, in my Jet Set Julia travel update, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the details of my trip. I'm going to talk mainly about the traveling portion of it and how difficult it was for at least us traveling during, I guess this post-pandemic time when, you are able to travel, but there still are restrictions and there still are, people were wearing masks. And, what was that enforced over in Europe? I'll tell you all about that momentarily. But you actually, you traveled down to Tampa?
Yes. I was down there for game 7 of the Stanley Cup semifinals.
That's incredible. So was it a good game?
It was a good game. I can't say it was a great trip, though.
What happened?
So we got delayed going down to Tampa Bay from LaGuardia Airport. If anyone listened to The Other Side of Midnight, they know that I had originally planned to fly out of LaGuardia at 8 a.m. and try and rush from here to make it, which would not have worked out. So I rebooked a flight later in the afternoon, which turned out to be the worst decision I could have made because I still ended up getting down to Tampa Bay late. And we got stuck on the tarmac for 2 hours.
Oh, that must have been so stressful.
Oh, it was brutal. And then to add on top of that, coming home, I overslept because I had booked an early, early flight out of Tampa Bay. I overslept and missed the flight and wound up having to rebook that morning onto a different flight.
Did you have to pay more?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Christian.
It was bad. It was not a good trip.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I love traveling, obviously, but I don't like flying. I'm just not a flyer. Once I got on the flight leaving JFK to Italy, it was great because we were with our friend Delta Dave, who was a flight attendant, and he was working our flight. He changed his plan so he could work
right.
with us. So that was really cool. And our flight was fantastic. It was great. But just dealing with the airport was not. So I'm going to talk about that momentarily in the Jet Set Julia travel update. But we want to get back to some of the headlines making news today. And I want to get to some positive things because we've been talking about a lot of the kind of negative, sad stories today. So let's talk about some good stuff. The painting that I told you about many, many months ago, it was handed down through generations by a French family over there in France. And it was thought totally worthless. And I told you that there was a guy who had gone through the home where this painting was hanging, and he thought this might be a very significant painting. Well, we've got the information now. Turns out it was. Turns out it was a painting by French master Jean-Honoré Fragonard, who painted this thing in 1768. Now, this painting has a name. It's called Philosopher Reading. It was discovered by an auctioneer who, like I said, he was going through this flat in France, estimating the value of the items inside the flat for inheritance purposes. He didn't recognize the painting, but he was looking at it, and he thought, you know, this is intriguing. And so he went and he did his due diligence and he got some experts to come in, and they confirmed it was indeed a Fragonard, and it just sold at auction for £7 million, which I think is about, I don't know, about $7.5 million, depending on the exchange rate right now. So congratulations to that family. So you had the auctioneer come into your house. You thought you maybe would get maybe $100,000 and you got $7 million. Lucky you. She had one glaring misstep, but U.S. gymnast Simone Biles did not let that get in the way of her pursuit for gold. The world champion fell during a beam routine during an Olympic qualifying round over the weekend, but her other performances wowed the crowd and the judges, of course, earning her an automatic ticket to Tokyo. Biles will try for a history-making feat. She's going to be trying to be the first female gymnast in more than half a century to win consecutive all-around Olympic golds. Meantime, I'm sure you guys have seen this, and I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about this. Patriots are in an uproar over a shocking event that occurred during the track and field Olympic trials out west over the weekend. Hammer thrower Gwen Berry placed third at the competition, but when she got up to the podium, she turned her back as the national anthem began to play. And then she held up a shirt that read "activist athlete." The move obviously lit up social media. Many people now calling for the fourth place athlete to be sent to Tokyo, to the Olympic Games there instead. Journalist David Steinberg tweeted a message that summed up what a lot of folks are thinking. Berry has a world of options if she doesn't want to compete under our flag. And we'll continue on a little bit with what Berry had to say momentarily. It's time for traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe. Hey, Nolan.
All right, Julie, we've got, again, these ongoing problems in Connecticut northbound between exits 12 and 13. Tractor trailer off the roadway down the embankment. This happened around midnight. It's going to continue for a little while longer until they can get this whole thing cleared. Now, the good news is the center lane now has been reopened, so it's just the right lane, and the delays there on the overnight are starting to ease up a little bit, but still you've got delays coming northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike, I-95, between exits 12 and 13. Good news in New Jersey. Earlier problem northbound on the Turnpike getting off at 13, also westbound on 78 out by exit 3. Those two tractor-trailer issues have both been taken care of. If you're outbound on the LIE at Woodhaven Boulevard, there's construction. Two lanes are out of service there. Mass Transit running right on or close to schedule. An alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Joe, if you're planning on traveling not by car but by airplane, I have a warning for you and others if you're going to be going through JFK. We'll talk about that after this break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
It is time now for your Jet Set Julia travel update. And I will be honest with you, Christian. I'm running on fumes right now.
We landed, I don't blame you.
Yeah, we landed late last evening, so I really didn't prepare an official report. But I think I have a few things to talk about for the next few minutes. First of all, it was amazing from start to finish. And I do want everyone to know that I will be putting together all of the interviews and the footage that I shot in Rome, Florence, and Venice over the next week or so for the debut of this Jet Set Juliet travel show out of Studio 77. So make sure you keep an eye on that. I tried not to post too much on my social media just because I didn't want to, you know, take some of the oomph out of the premiere of the show. But in the meantime, if you're thinking about traveling to Italy, let me give you some words of wisdom and some of my observations. First of all, leaving for Italy from JFK. Christian, it was interesting. It took us about 3 hours from the time we arrived at the airport to the time that we were finally allowed to go through security.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So those 3 hours were filled with a lot of confusion and a little frustration. I mean, obviously we were excited to be going to Italy finally, so we were kind of keeping a very good positive attitude about it, but not everybody else was. We took the COVID tested flight, which at the time was the only type of flight that you could take to Italy without having to quarantine. Now, they have since said that anybody, any tourist can fly now to Italy. So that's great news. But so we had to get the COVID lab test a couple days before our trip, and we had to show that at the airport, show that we were negative. That was for the Italian government, you know, because they didn't want us coming in if we were obviously positive.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but then we had to take the rapid test right there at JFK before they would let us check in. That was for the U.S. government. We also had to fill out some documents for the Italian government. They weren't difficult to fill out, but it was a little confusing because one you had to do at home, but you had to print it out. Another one you had to do upon arrival. You know, it was just when we arrived, it was kind of chaotic, to say the least. People were standing in lines only to find out when they got up to the front that they were supposed to have filled out paperwork ahead of time. I mean, it was really pretty backwards. But you know what? Once we got to Italy, things were much more streamlined and organized. We flew to Rome. So my advice is, if you're planning on traveling, give yourself a lot of time before you fly out of your airport to go overseas. It was kind of mind-blowing for me that Delta didn't have things more streamlined and simplified. I mean, I travel a lot, and I love doing my research before taking off. So John and I were okay. But there are quite a few people who got to JFK and were completely lost, were completely blindsided. So you really, right now, when you're traveling out of the country, you really have to read your airline's website over and over and make sure you have everything you need. Another issue, we called Delta a few times to get clarification on which type of COVID test was needed, and we were told two different things by two different customer service agents. So that's a little freaky. So just if you're going to travel and you need a COVID test, get the one that you have to do within 72 hours, that the results come back, quickly, but it's in within 72 hours, and it's sort of the lab test, not the quick rapid test that takes 10 minutes. So we flew Air France home. We had to change planes in Paris, and Charles de Gaulle also was pretty on top of things. It was pretty easy to get through. If there are any airline or government folks out there listening to me, please, for the love of God, just make one list with everything a passenger needs to do in simple and concise language. I mean, don't make us have to go to 10 different pages on your website with drop downs and links. It's just way, way, way too confusing. Now, as far as the pandemic and how it affected us once we were there, we had to wear masks inside JFK. You know, this is what we have to do in transport around the country. We had to wear it on the plane, inside the public transport places in Italy, but not outside. I will say the local authorities in all three cities we visited, Rome, Florence, and Venice, were quite serious about enforcing the mask rules at the train stations and at the airport. But most of the shops and cafes kind of had their own rules, you know what I mean? Like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Apart from that, nothing was really different except the fact that there were rarely Americans wherever we went. I mean, we ran into a few, but not really. It was pretty quiet overall. Germans, folks from the Netherlands, they seem to be the most prevalent visitors. Typically in Venice, you see a lot of Asians, but we saw very few. No Brits, few French folks. I think people are still wary of traveling, but also, you know, a lot of countries are still under some degree of restriction. So we really did have the cities to ourselves, especially Florence and Venice, which was kind of nice. I'm going to continue telling you a little bit about this on my Instagram later on today. I'll post that. But if you have any questions, feel free to tweet me at Jet Set Juliet. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update, Christian. And it is time now for Sydney and sports. Sydney, did that inspire you to travel to Italy?
Well, I love Italy to begin with, but that was a very, very detailed and fine report. Yes, I'm on my way to Rome today. I actually went to a great Italian restaurant for lunch yesterday, Bella Blu, which is on Lexington between 70th and 71st. And the manager, Marco, is from Rome.
Really?
And he spent about 20 minutes on my lunch talking about going home to see his grandmother in Sicily. And I kept thinking about you. So.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. We actually went to our friend's house outside of Rome and spent the entire day with his family and his kids and his parents. And just, it was wonderful. So I'll have all of that on the show.
That sounds great.
What's happening in the sports world?
Well, Kyle Schwarber, that's a name that everybody knows these days. The former Chicago Cub, red-hot Washington National. Two more home runs against the Mets last night. He's killing the Mets. He's killing everybody. He's got 24 home runs on the season. But how about this rarefied air? He's now hit 15 home runs in the last 17 games. The only other two players to ever do that? Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, as the Nationals doubled up the Mets last night behind Schwarber, 8-4. Jeff McNeil talking about where the Mets are right now in their playoff push.
You know, it's nice for us to be in first, so you know everyone's chasing us. But you know, those good ball clubs. We just need to you know, keep playing well, you know, keep winning ball games, and hopefully at the end of the year, you know, we're at the top.
Mets are now 40-34, second place at 38-38. Those Washington Nationals right now, they're three back of the Mets. They'll play again today. The Yankees lost 5-3 to the Angels. Ohtani, how good is this kid? He pitches, he hits, he plays great defense. Had a first home run of the year against the Yankees, I should say, at Yankee Stadium. His 26th home run of the year. He's tied with Vlad Guerrero Jr. of Toronto for the Major League lead. He led the Angels to the 5-3 win over Michael King and the Yanks. This despite home runs by Gio Urshela and Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees. Yankees are now 40-38. They're 7.5 behind Boston. We've been saying it for a while now. It's panic time in the Bronx. Here's their skipper after last night's loss, Aaron Boone.
Well, I'm disappointed we lost, certainly. You know, we understand where we are and the importance of these. You know, frustrating we couldn't mount much late. Suarez, you know, kept us off balance and just weren't able to mount enough.
Stanley Cup Finals last night. Game 1, Tampa Bay beat Montreal 5-1. Western Conference Finals, NBA Playoffs. The Clippers force a Game 6. They beat the Suns 116-102. That series is still 3-2 Phoenix. Tonight, Game 4 from Atlanta. The Eastern Conference Finals. The Bucks lead that series 2-1. Sports at 15-45. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com and PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
And it is time for Joe with traffic on the 7s.
The Connecticut Turnpike northbound between interchanges 12 and 13. Bumper-to-bumper traffic now. Again, we have this tractor-trailer accident. Went off the roadway down the embankment. They're still in the process of getting this thing out of the way, but still delays. Now, also on the Jersey Turnpike as you travel northbound, getting off at interchange 13. That earlier problem heading to the Goffles Bridge has now been taken care of. Long Island Expressway, still some road work on the outbound side as you get through Woodhaven Boulevard. We're also going to be looking at a little bit of a delay as well as you begin to travel on the Garden State Parkway southbound around 123 in the express lanes. There's road work going on there. Mass transit, everybody right on or close to schedule, and alternate side of the street parking rules again today are going to be in effect. This report of service of the U.S. Virgin Islands. The U.S. Virgin Islands are calling. No passport for U.S. citizens, no converting currency, no destination more inviting than St. Croix, St. John, and St. Thomas, because this, my friend, is the American Caribbean. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
That sounds nice. We actually tried to get, we wanted to get out to Lido, which is the beach, you know, where they have the Venice Film Festival.
Yep.
But we ended up staying up too late every single night with our friends on the main island of Venice, so we never quite got up past like noon or 12. Yeah, it was a little bit tough.
Well,
lots of wine and Aperol spritz. Let's leave it at that. Christian, you had a comment about.
I was just realizing what a different experience we had traveling domestically and internationally. Obviously, internationally, it's always so chaotic, but. The fact that it took you 3 hours and the chaos it took you, I thought back to coming back from Tampa Bay, because not only did I oversleep for my flight and miss it and have to book another one,
mm-hmm.
the flight I did book was delayed 3 hours from when it was supposed to take off. And somehow when I got to the airport, I begged this Delta ticket counter guy. I wish I remembered his name, because there was another flight flying into JFK. I think it was like 11:35. I was there at the airport at like 11. And the guy somehow got me onto that flight, and it was like 11:10, and I'm like, and he gave me like a ticket and get through TSA and everything. And I go, I'm going to make it to the terminal. And he goes, yeah, you'll be fine. It took me maybe 10 minutes to get through TSA at Tampa International Airport and get to the gate and make that flight. So what a different experience.
Well,
we had.
But here's the thing. All of the stuff that we were going through at JFK was before you even went up to go through the TSA. We have clear we have TSA pre-check. So once we got up to the security to go through it, we blasted right through it. But it was that 3 hours of just sitting around waiting for your test results. You know, it was, but again, I'm glad it happened on the way out because we were literally on cloud nine that we were able to fly, you know, anywhere. So
I imagine
it was okay. So we kept a very, very positive attitude, and we were also excited because we were going to be traveling on the same flight as our friend who was working it. So that was really cool. But, and I don't mean to make it sound like it was a horrible experience. I mean, it was confusing. And I really don't understand why JFK can't get it together. I don't understand. After all this time, people have been traveling. They've been doing these COVID-tested flights. It just makes no sense to me. But, you know, that's why I'm not running an airline or an airport.
Well, maybe you should, Julia.
Maybe
it sounds
maybe
like
I
it would
should.
Be a little more well-run.
Yes, exactly. I'm very organized. My husband's the one that's really organized. He'd have that thing just running like clockwork. All right, let's get back to some of the headlines before we toss the torch over to Deb for the main headlines of the day, the things that are breaking right now. Scientists have come up with a clever way to help you find out if you have COVID, but you're going to have to wear a mask again. Researchers came up with one, this is a sort of face covering, that can detect the virus in your breath within 90 minutes. The team is also reportedly trying to figure out how to expand it into basically articles of clothing that aren't so annoying to wear, which reminds me, I had the greatest idea. I'm sure it's not an original idea, but I got one of those masks that ladies are putting on their faces. I guess in men too. They're like the moisturizing masks where you just have the little holes for your eyes and your mouth. And I put it on about 15 minutes before we landed. And so it was sitting there, you know, my face was marinating. After I got off the plane, I was refreshed. It was fantastic. I would definitely suggest that. I should have saved that for my Jet Set Julia travel update. Darn.
You should have saved that for when you patent it and start selling it.
Well, I think people are already doing it. But in the meantime, Christian, this does not apply to you, but a disturbing chunk of young Americans are not working and they're not studying. Experts say around 4 million folks between the ages of 20 and 24. Well, I guess that doesn't apply to you anyway. Have many money-making or educational opportunities to distract them these days, thanks to office closures and job losses and campus shutdowns. That number is a significant increase compared to last year. It's about a 24% jump. So economists and other observers say this could have far-reaching negative consequences down the road because people just won't be prepared, they won't be experienced or skilled enough to get jobs when they do become available, and that could lead to an increase in poverty, homelessness, and violence, which is not a pleasant thought. And the country was hailed as a leader in COVID containment. But Australians are now questioning the previous protocols as their country goes into lockdown once again. The dangerous, of course, Delta COVID strain is picking up steam there. The largest outbreak is in Sydney, where residents are on yet another draconian medieval lockdown where they can't even leave their house. Australia's leadership is being blasted, though, for its glacial vaccine rollout. So far, only around 5% of Aussies have been vaccinated. So, yeah, I mean, I actually had been one that was saying, wow, we should have done it like Australia because they really, really clamped down very early. I mean, it was pretty draconian, but they ended up wiping out COVID there, essentially, and they started getting back to normal really quickly. Their economy was buzzing, but they just didn't get those vaccinations out, and now they're dealing with the Delta variant. And again, that is a big concern with our country as well. In the meantime, she had one. Oh, I did that story already. Excuse me. I had some other stuff to get to. I have a great one about a discovery to tell you about. I love these stories. It could change the way we think about how our species evolved. Scientists say that they've analyzed a massive fossilized skull that dates back at least 140,000 years. It belonged to a large, mature male with a massive brain, protruding brow ridges, deep-set eyes, and a big bulbous nose. Sounds like my first husband. No, I'm just kidding. The crazy thing is, it was found 85 years ago by a farmer in China, the skull was. But his family says that he kept the discovery a secret because he didn't want to hand it over to the Japanese. He knew that this would be a significant discovery, but he didn't want to hand it over to the Japanese, who were occupying that particular area of China at the time. So he just simply hid it away carefully in an abandoned well. He told his family about it on his deathbed, and they quickly called authorities. And the reason this skull is so important is that researchers are now starting to think that this particular species that they've named Homo longi was probably more closely related to us, modern-day humans, than Neanderthals. So this could change how scientists view the beginning of the Homo sapien species, which is us. A couple other interesting things about this guy, who they've named Dragon Man, the skull guy, after the nearby Dragon River. He had flat cheeks. He had a broad mouth. He also may not have had a chin, and his brain was about 7% bigger than the average human today. Can you imagine what this thing looked like? And if you are up and you're looking for a way to burn a few bucks, here's an idea, Christian. I know that you've been looking for a way to spend your many, many millions of dollars.
Oh, yes.
Yes, for a piddly little fee of just $15 million, you can own your own piece of the world's largest super yacht. It is nearly 800 feet long. It cost around $700 million to build. There are 39 luxury condos on board. But don't get too excited, Christian, because to buy one, you have to be invited on a super secret VIP list. So I don't know. You may have
Darn.
The money. Yeah, but you don't have the access.
I was in the market for a new yacht, and that really just disappointed me at the end.
Well, there's a cute one in the window of a toy store down the street. I'd be happy to get it for you.
That's probably more at my price range.
Now, this guy does have money for a yacht and weekend homes and travel. His name is Joe Nolan, and he is our traffic guy.
Hello there.
Hello
there. We've got a pretty good day out there, at least at this point, as you begin to travel around. We've got ourselves some issues, though, still on the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike. Between interchanges 12 and 13, there's a tractor trailer down the embankment. They are still in the process of getting this out of the way. You're bumper to bumper now northbound from exit 10. So this is supposed to get worse as we go along. Again, you can go ahead and use the Grand Central Parkway. It's Grand Central Parkway, the Merritt Parkway, if you want, as you begin to travel northbound. That'll get you around it. If you're in a car, if you're in a truck, go ahead and use Route 1. But again, right now, northbound between 12 and 13, one lane out on the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike. Now, in New Jersey, we had some earlier problems. All that has been taken care of. However, if you're traveling on the northbound Garden State Parkway, getting off at exit 150, that ramp is shut. And again, that because of a problem on the local street. Mass Transit's good, though. An alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. And like I said, Mass Transit running right on our closest schedule. There was a little bit of a problem on Jersey Transit, but now they've just cleared that. The supportive service of Indeed.com. Shift hiring gears with Indeed. They go beyond the resume with 135 skill tests that help candidates show their abilities on things like computer proficiency or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. We'll check back with you in a little bit. Also, we're going to have an update on that hammer thrower, Gwen Berry, who infuriated folks by turning her back when they were playing the American National Anthem when she was in third place. People are saying that she should be in last place at this point, and she shouldn't be representing the United States. I'll tell you what she has to say about that. We do have some, more positive news from the U.S. track and field trials there in Eugene, Oregon. A New Jersey native is now the record holder in the 400-meter hurdle. She's 21-year-old Sydney McLaughlin. She finished in 51.90 seconds Sunday night. She shattered the record by 0.26 seconds. She went to Union Catholic High School in Dunellen, New Jersey. The second-place finisher, her name is Delilah Muhammad. You probably heard of her. She's also a local girl from Jamaica, Queens. Benjamin Cardozo High School she went to, and you might recall that she won the gold back in 2016. So congratulations to them. They are headed over to the Olympics in Tokyo. Going to have lots of updates, headlines from Deb, traffic and transit from Joe Nolan, and Sid with sports momentarily. Here are the headlines.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. It is Juliette Huddy, sans Frank Morano. He's on vacation this week. He'll be back next week. Everybody will be back together. The gang will be back together next week. I promise you. And Christian's at the controls. Sid will be up with sports at 45, at 15 rather. Deb, as you just heard, is here with the headlines. And we've got traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan coming up momentarily. But it's good to be back. I'll tell you a little bit more about my trip in tomorrow's Jet Set Juliette travel update, and also on my Instagram and Twitter at Jet Set Juliette. I will give you a lot of good information as far as traveling through airports and things like that and how things are going. In the meantime, let's get to some of the other big headlines. Good news if you're Lee Zeldin. New York State Republican Party leaders anointed Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin as their presumptive nominee for governor following a straw poll on Monday. He would be the guy that they say will take on the presumed opponent, incumbent Andrew Cuomo, next year. Now, he was on with Rita Cosby last night, and not surprisingly, he was pretty amped up. Track four.
I've hit all 62 counties throughout the state. We're working hard, 10 statewide tours. We're all in. Losing's not an option, and today was more progress on that front.
85% of the county leaders said that they back Zeldin. 5% preferred former Westchester County executive and 2014 gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorino. As far as Andrew Giuliani, the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, he did not garner any support. However, 10% of the leaders abstained. So there you have it. And of course, some of the comments that Zeldin made when he was on with Rita Cosby last night had to do with the governor, the current governor, Andrew Cuomo, having all of these scandals, being essentially scandal plagued, and also defunding the police. And, you know, that is something that I think is motivating a lot of Republicans and Democrats, as a matter of fact. Meantime, we're finding out more about that shocking shooting in Times Square. This is the one that happened on Sunday outside the Marriott Hotel. Cops say a 21-year-old Marine was walking with his brand new wife and his brother-in-law when shots rang out. The family was reportedly in town from upstate New York for a baptism. Samuel Pullen was hit in the back by a ricocheting bullet. One of his relatives told the New York Post that he's doing okay. Pullen is a recent graduate of the Citadel, which is the military college down in South Carolina, and cops are on the lookout now for those suspects. You can see some of the video and some of the images of that shooting on social media on Twitter, and I can post that for you as well on my Twitter at Jet Set Julia. Meantime, Mayor de Blasio, as you heard Deb say on Monday, promised to flood the zone in Times Square, meaning he's planning on sending more cops, 50 or so, in to that area to protect folks. And he did not mention any of the hundreds of other shootings and attacks on innocent New Yorkers that have been plaguing the city since he decided to shut down the NYPD arm that kept guns off the street. And exciting news for those of us with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Experts, this is really big news, actually. Experts now think that they have created such a strong immunity within us that we could be protected from COVID for years, maybe even a lifetime. Obviously, meaning we wouldn't need a booster shot for a long time at the very least. The key, they say, is keeping the virus from mutating into more serious viruses or evolving too much. That's obviously going to be the challenge given what we've seen already with the Delta variant and some of the other variants. The study did not focus on the other popular U.S. vaccine, the single shot J&J, Johnson & Johnson, but doctors unfortunately say it's probably not as strong as the other two, but that is, again, a preliminary finding. Moving on now, out here in Suffolk County, leaders, a leader is demanding answers to the mystery that has haunted a small beach community there. Several women were murdered in Gilgo Beach, and New York State Senator Phil Boyle, he's looking for some resolution in this quote-unquote Long Island serial killer investigation. Boyle held a press conference Monday in Oak Beach, and he says, look, we're done waiting.
They waited 10 years to show us part of a belt. And we're not going to sit here and wait another 10 years for them to show us the buckle that goes with the belt.
He said we are going to be demanding that we get some answers. The next time you read one of our country's most revered documents, you may notice a few asterisks, potentially. The National Archives created a racism task force, and they have apparently been very busy. The group put out a 100-page report on everything from buildings to papers. The Capitol Rotunda, for instance, racist. That is because it is apparently a symbol of white male power. You can read a little bit more about this. I'll post it on my Jet Set Juliette Twitter account. I got to tell you, things are getting a little wacky out there. Meantime, Toyota is the latest company in the political backlash bullseye. The Japanese motor group is under pressure to explain and defend why they donated $55,000 to a group of more than 30 Republicans who voted against certifying the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Now, for their part, the company released a statement addressing the fact that they are the number one donor to 2020 election objectors, saying, "We don't believe it is appropriate to judge members of Congress solely based on their votes on the electoral certification." Former President Trump is severing another tie with a past administration official. This time, it's Attorney General, former Attorney General Bill Barr. Trump called him a rhino or Republican in name only, a slam against Americans who identify as members of the GOP, but have been isolated by the former president and others for not supporting him. Now, Barr reportedly told the author of an upcoming book about 45's administration that he pretty much knew all along that the claims that the election results confirming Joe Biden as the nation's 46th president, he felt that they were bogus, these election fraud claims, although Barr used another B word that we can't say on air. And that, of course, raised the ire of former President Trump, who is not happy with his former attorney general. And the Pentagon on Monday released stunning video of U.S. fighter jets dropping 2,000-pound missiles on pro-Iran sites along the Syrian border. At least seven fighters, or pro-Iranian fighters, were killed, sparking calls for revenge from leaders in Tehran, among others. One warning President Joe Biden is, quote, taking the wrong path. And wedding bells are ringing, but the groom is going to have a bit of a tough time celebrating. That's because he's none other than WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who is currently being held in a maximum security prison in London. The Daily Mail reporting Assange, who turns 50, I think this week, as a matter of fact, will marry the mother of his two children. I thought he and Pamela Anderson were a couple. Am I crazy?
I think they were dating at one point, but I'm not really up to date on what their social life
is. Yeah, I mean, I'm not following the life and times of Assange or Pamela Anderson for that matter. But at any rate, apparently he has been confined in London for more than 2 years, as we know, and he's awaiting possible extradition here to the U.S. But he has decided that it is time to put a ring on it with the mother of his kids. So I guess congratulations. And as I told you a little bit earlier, Patriots are in an uproar over a shocking event that occurred during the track and field Olympic trials out west over the weekend. Hammer thrower Gwen Berry placed third at the competition. When she got up to the podium, she turned her back as the national anthem began to play. So journalist David Steinberg tweeted a message that I think sums up what a lot of folks are saying and a lot of folks are thinking. He says not a penny of taxpayer money should fund her campaign to make Americans hate each other. Berry, however, is doubling down. She says her mission is bigger than sports, and she says she's using her worldwide platform to represent those, she says, who died due to systemic racism. And she says she is not going to be backing down no matter what anybody says. And moving on now, a disturbing chunk of young Americans aren't working. I told you that. Nor are they studying. Experts say around 4 million folks between the ages of 20 and 24 don't have many money-making or educational opportunities to distract them these days. Obviously, COVID created some real problems. We had some office closures, you could say. We had lots of job loss and campus shutdowns. That's also been a big problem. And so this number of about 4 million, that's about a 24% increase since last year. And the economists and other observers are saying this is going to have a big problem if these people don't get back to work and back to studying, because people aren't going to be prepared, experienced, or skilled enough to get jobs when they do become available. Moving out to New Mexico now, a heartbreaking story. Wow, what a tragedy. Five people were killed in a hot air balloon crash, and we're finding out now a little bit more about one of those victims. She was a high school principal, and Christian, this is, I mean, can you imagine her colleagues at this point? She'd been given the ride as a gift from her fellow colleagues because it was on her bucket list. And apparently they all got together, they put money in the kitty, and they got her this as their gift. And she ends up dying in this horrible crash.
Wow.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine? Really, really sad. Also, some local fishermen, speaking of sad, working in the waters off Turks and Caicos down in the Caribbean, made a horrifying discovery over the weekend. A boat with 20 dead people. The small vessel was floating about a mile off of Grand Turk. That's the island down there. Authorities say the boat came from outside the Caribbean. They don't believe it was headed for Turks and Caicos. Investigators are working to find out how the group died, but locals say that this route that they were found on is a known people smuggling route. And a Navy vet is demanding a public apology after years of being mocked and being abused by his colleagues and his superiors. Kevin Day is his name. He took to Facebook to say that he paid a professional price after describing seeing a white Tic Tac UFO back in 2004. Day says he holds the Navy and the Department of Defense responsible for their, quote, malfeasance and dereliction of duty and not taking the matter seriously, which, as you know, they are now. Day says that he did his job, they did not. And he wants a formal public apology and a redress for the costs that he and others have paid for speaking out about these UFOs. The demand comes days after the Director of National Intelligence released a report suggesting 144 similar sightings over the years pose a risk to national security because we simply don't have any idea what these things are. We don't know what Sid is. We just know that he is well-dressed, he is very buff, and he's got a big personality. And he is here with sports.
Now, that's an introduction.
I know.
You can teach Frank a couple of things, just so you know.
What was that?
You can teach Frank a couple of things.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Frank is good with the intros, but I got to say, when you're introing Sid Rosenberg, it's got to be something pretty special.
That was as good as it gets. Frank, never as good as that, just so you know, Julia. Sit. Thank you.
Thank you, Hollywood.
Thank you, sweetheart. Nice to have you back. Let's get to the Mets last night. Kyle Schwarber, he continues red hot, 24 home runs on the season. Two more home runs against the Mets last night. He's now Chipper Jones. He just kills the Mets. You ready for this, folks? He's now hit 15 home runs in his last 17 games. The only other two men to ever do that, Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. That's how hot Kyle Schwarber is, and his Nats doubled up the Mets last night, 8-4. Jeff McNeil of the Mets talked about where the Mets are in the standings after last night's loss.
It's nice for us to be in first, so you know everyone's chasing us. But you know, those good ball clubs. We just need to keep playing well, keep winning ball games, and hopefully at the end of the year, we're at the top.
Mets are 40-34. They're on top right now. They lead those Nationals. The Nats are 38-38 in second place by three games. Mets and Nats from Queens again later on tonight. Yankees lost two. Ohtani, a home run to lead off the game. He had been 0-9 in his career at Yankee Stadium. His 26th home run of the year. He's tied with Vlad Guerrero Jr. of Toronto for the major league lead. And the Angels beat the Yankees 5-3. This despite home runs by Urshela and Stanton for the Yankees. Not a great night for Yankee starter Michael King. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone after last night's loss.
Well, I'm disappointed we lost, certainly. You know, we understand where we are and the importance of these. You know, frustrating we couldn't mount much late. Suarez, you know, kept us off balance and just weren't able to mount enough.
Where the Yankees are is 40-38, and right now 7.5 behind the division-leading Joseph Abud, Boston Red Sox. Western Conference Finals, NBA last night, 41 for Paul George. Clippers stay alive, beat the Suns on the road, 116-102. That series still has Phoenix ahead of Los Angeles, 3-2. Game 4 tonight from Atlanta. Eastern Conference Finals, the Bucks have a 2-1 series edge on Atlanta. And last night, Game 1, Stanley Cup Finals, and it went to the Lightning. Go USA. They beat Montreal 5-1. Sports at 15-45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Hollywood Rosenberg, and let's get over to Joe with traffic on the 7s.
Well, if you're on the cross box now, we've got a problem eastbound right by the Major Deegan, a disabled vehicle, one lane going to be out of service, starting to back up a little bit behind that. If you're in New Jersey on 78 eastbound at exit 15, an accident, new one lane going to be out, and we're starting to build up there as well. But on the Connecticut Turnpike, this has been with us now for almost 6 hours. On the northbound side between exits 10 and 12, a tractor-trailer accident went off the roadway down the embankment. They're still in the process of getting this out of the way. We're backed up now from exit 10 on up through exit 12. Now, inbound Lincoln, Holland, George, all pretty good at least at this point. Mass Transit, good too. Alternate side is in effect. This report, service of Mattress Firm. It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale. For a limited time, save up to $500 on a king bed for a queen price on top-rated mattress brands like Sealy and Sleepy's Plus. Plus, you get a free adjustable base with your $999 purchase. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. We're going to get to Sid in just a moment to see what's happening on the Bernie and Sid Show. But speaking of sports, sad news for Boston Bruins star David Pastrnak and his wife, Rebecca. Oh, this is so awful. The couple announcing Monday that their newborn son, Vigo, passed away after just a few days of life. The 25-year-old posted a message on Instagram reading, "We have an angel watching over us and we call him son. You will be loved forever." And he added that they were requesting privacy as they deal with the grief. So lots of love being sent to the Pastrnaks. Also, in much lighter news, Sid, I figured that you'd like this story just because it's completely gross. But at least it wasn't a dead bug. That's all I have to say. A woman in New Zealand had lived with chronic nose pain since childhood. She could never figure out what it was and clearly never went to a doctor to find out. If she did, I would suggest hiring a lawyer, because the 40-something finally discovered a tiddlywink buried in her nasal cavity. Do you know what a tiddlywink is?
A tiddlywink.
Yeah, it's like that. It's a little child's toy.
Yes, you play with those.
Yeah.
Spin them and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So she thanks COVID for the revelation. She says the pain got worse after she had a nasal swab during the pandemic. So she had to go into surgery, and lo and behold, doctors found this tiddlywink. The woman says she almost immediately remembered that she had been playing with her siblings when she was a child, and she stuffed it up there herself, but she was scared to tell her mom when it wouldn't come out. So she just kept it in there, and 37 years later, she learned it's always best to tell the truth.
How do you you stick that up your nose?
I guess she was a little kid, and she just stuck it up there, and I guess, you know, she stopped stressing out. Like, they've got other things to worry about. Barbie dolls, you know, I don't know, Legos. She just forgot about it.
Surprised she didn't stick the Legos up there, too, since she forgot.
There's another nasal cavity. Maybe they haven't checked that one. I don't know. Anyway, Sid, what is happening on your show today?
Well, there's a lot going on, obviously. It's Tuesday. It's a Bo Dietl Tuesday. And I got the big dinner with Bo coming up on Thursday night, the Rayos dinner.
Oh, I was going to say, of course it would be Rayos.
Of course it is, yes. So we'll, I'm sure we'll talk about that. Of course, the crime in the streets is going to be the major topic. It's a mess.
Outrageous.
It is outrageous. So.
When we were over in Italy, people were asking us about how safe it is in the United States, because they keep on seeing all these attacks in New York, and they were saying, well, but I mean, you know, it's probably just in the bad areas. And I said, oh no, 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 no. No, it's in the nice areas. Yeah,
it's everywhere. No, mm-hmm. Nothing you can do. So that'll be the main topic of discussion. The building collapse in Florida is still, you know, it's really reminding me, Juliet, of 9/11. Just looking at the rubble and the amount of days they're spending on top of it. And you may remember after 9/11, we started to get these really sad stories calling their husbands and wives and saying things like, I'm never coming home again. Tell the kids I love them. So now there's some stories. One lady in particular that was on the fourth floor, I guess, mm-hmm. and she called her husband. She said, the pool just caved in. The building is shaking. What do I do? She's one of the 158 people missing. So
yeah, she's beautiful. She's a model.
Yes.
She's like 40 years old. Her husband's, I guess he's about 25 years older. He was on a business trip.
Right.
When she was down there.
Oh. Right. So that's just a brutal story. And somehow people are tying that to the infrastructure issue in the United States and the bill that Joe Biden is trying to pass. So it always comes back to politics, of course, no matter what.
Yeah.
So that'll be the discussion for today. You know, listen, the point is this. July 4th is coming up on Sunday. Me and Bernie work through Thursday. Then we have a bunch of time off. And to be completely honest, you just got back from Italy last night.
Yeah.
We are in vacation mode already. We got to get through Thursday and get the hell out of here.
Okay, so you are working on Thursday.
We are working Thursday. Bernie and I are off Friday. Bernie and I are off Monday. And then Bernie takes the rest of next week off, and I fly solo starting next Tuesday.
Well, I mean, look, it's, you know, it's summertime. This is when people take their vacations. So you guys enjoy yourselves. I'm thinking about the next vacation. I'll tell you that. Hopefully October. That's when the next one comes.
It's also going to be, I would imagine, international, yes?
Yes. It will always be over to Europe.
Right.
Unless we're forced to do something.
It's not going to be Staten Island, for example.
It will not be Staten Island. Not that I have anything negative to say about Staten Island, but right. We just love our history, and we love going and seeing all of our friends over there. So it was just awesome. And we will definitely be back, but you're going to be in London. Maybe we'll meet up.
I'd love that. That'll be in August. Like I said, the end of, I think around August 25th is when we expect to be in England. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm worried for you about that. Again, I think you're going to have to delay it because this Delta variant is going crazy there.
Yeah. No, I know. We were actually with my daughter's boyfriend's. I wasn't. My wife and son were. With my daughter's boyfriend's parents, and they're actually traveling back to London from Pennsylvania from camp today. And they expressed some concern, but they're pretty sure we're going to get there. In fact, they've already bought theater tickets and all kinds of stuff. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, you guys are going to have a great time. I'm hoping that it will work out for you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good show.
Thank you.
And I will see you tomorrow.
Nice to have you back, Juliette.
Thanks,
it really is.
Nice to be back. Also, want to get to some entertainment news. The much-anticipated reboot of Frasier is right around the corner. That's a great show. Were you a fan of that show, Christian?
I was not. I think it was a little before my time, but Frank is a huge fan of that show.
Yeah, Frasier was hysterical. And star Kelsey Grammer is opening up about life, love, and loss. I had no idea about this, but he told Page Six that he has had some pretty horrendous challenges. Now, I knew that he had had some massive substance abuse issues, but I didn't know about his family tragedy. Starting back in the 1960s, his dad was killed during a home invasion. He was murdered. And then about 7 years later, his younger sister was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. And then 5 years after that, his two half-brothers died in a scuba diving accident. He also went through three divorces, the last one with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Camille Grammer, which got kind of pretty ugly. He dealt with the pain in destructive ways, he says, including substance abuse. But he says his life has a lot of joy now. He's been married to wife number four, Katie, with whom he has three kids. And along with the Frasier reboot, the Juilliard-trained actor will star in a movie called The God Connection, which is, I guess you could say, it's probably a critical look at the U.S. healthcare system. Not saying too much about the Frasier reboot, but he does say familiar cast members will be returning, and there will also be some new ones, too, and that will happen sometime next year on Paramount Plus, which I'm very excited about. And really quick, can we do a royal alert, Christian? I mean, I feel like you guys might have missed it. Thank you.
Actually, Frank did one, I think. When
did he?
Yes.
And
he
did we
snuck
have
one
the,
in.
Did we have the bugles and everything?
Yes, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, just 2 days away from the statue unveiling of Princess Diana in London, we know feuding Princes William and Harry will be on hand, but their wives, Kate and Meghan, will not. And the UK Times, now reporting Diana's former husband, will also be skipping the ceremony. Sources telling the outlet that Prince Charles finds the memories too painful. And will, quote, keep those memories to himself and leave his sons to it. Gee, I wonder why Harry complains that he doesn't want to raise his kids the way his dad raised him. Anyway, the statue is making it its official debut on Thursday in the gardens of Kensington Palace, where Diana used to live and where she raised her boys before her untimely death in 1997. And by the way, Thursday, when the statue unveiling happens, it would have been her 60th birthday. And finally, are you a pathological liar? Well, you're probably a bit of a psychopath, too. It's not all bad news, though. A new study found people who are really good at BSing tend to have higher cognitive ability than others. Unfortunately, though, the Canadian researchers found the really smart people, the really, really smart ones, are less likely to lie. And listen to this. People who are all too willing to lie about something are also more likely to fall victim to misinformation. And on that note, we're going to toss it over to Joe Nolan. I will be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. with all your news headlines. Deb will be here. Christian will be here and the rest of the crew, Sid as well. And I will see you tomorrow. It's good to be back. Missed you guys.